Welcome to the January 7th, 2020 meeting of the City of Black Diamond Planning Commission. At this point in time, would you please join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Commissioners, I hope you've... allow a few minutes here.
I want you to bang it. Say orders.
Sorry, we just have a little thing to be sure there. Oh, here, thank you. It's better.
Excellent. So, Commissioners, I hope you had a few moments to look at the meeting minutes from our December 17th meeting. I would entertain a motion to approve those if you see.
Madam Chair.
Oh, excuse me.
I just do want to have some clarification here on the minutes.
Let's do roll call. I've been reminded to do roll call.
Okay.
Karina, please.
Commissioner LaConte. Commissioner Jensen.
Absent, excused.
Okay. Commissioner Butt.
Present.
Commissioner McCain.
Here.
Commissioner Eckberg.
Here.
Commissioner Amber.
Oh.
And Commissioner Olson.
Here.
Let's note for the record that Mr. LaConte is here. Welcome at 6:02 p.m. All right, commissioners, thank you. I would like to go next to Ms. Kincaid. Apparently, she has a point of clarification for the minutes that we're looking at to approve. So, Ms. Kincaid?
Yes, I do. On page 2 of the minutes, the top paragraph where we talk about there was discussion of the comprehensive plan land use designations, where it says that she talked about dialing back the proposed zoning changes. I just want to make sure that people understand. We probably should have used better language there, that we are basically tabling those proposed changes for the zoning map. And that's what we meant when we put dialing back. The last sentence is, for tonight's meeting is that the commission expressed a desire to have a high-level review of comp plan goals and policies at their next meeting. So that's, we're going to not get in, it's really more of a really a summary sort of an exercise. So I hope that people aren't coming in expecting to go through the comp plan. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Commissioner Olson, do we want to postpone this until the next meeting to get that replaced with some verbiage, or can we do it now?
The approving of the minutes, you may approve them with the word changes.
Okay.
All right, commissioners, do I have anyone willing to make a motion of approving the minutes of the December 17th, 2019 minutes with the insertion of the word tabling to replace the dialing back words in paragraph 5.
I'll make a motion to approve the planning meeting minutes for December 17th with the noted changes about mentioned before.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. So at this point in time, I would like to invite the public to come and talk about anything they'd wish to talk about. Please use the podium. State your name and city for the record, please. Mr. Acosta.
Good evening. Philip Acosta, Black Diamond. Here for my usual issues of 288 and 169. There are some improvements going on up there, none related to traffic. They're actually putting a sewer in now, so the road's under construction. But, you know, that is our major east-west corridor in Black Diamond, much more so than Roberts Drive or Auburn Black Diamond or any of the others. So, yeah, it's really a safety concern and something that the Planning Commission should be aware of. I'm sure I've made you aware of it in the past. It's the responsibility of the city to provide safe traffic corridors for citizens. Traffic analysis could be triggered at any time at the direction of the City Council per the Master Plan Development Ordinance COA 17A. So if some pressure possibly from the Planning Commission was put to the Council for a new traffic analysis up there, and then therefore maybe they could go to the county or the Maple Valley, because the problem is that the intersection at 169 is in limbo. Nobody really wants to take responsibility for it. Black Diamond's told me to go to the county. Maple Valley's told me to go to the county. But it's the citizens of Black Diamond and the citizens of Maple Valley that use that intersection, and their safety is in peril. I know, Pam, you live up there. You know what it's like. So I'd be against any rezoning sought by developments. Until this is resolved down there. I mean, we've got probably the biggest development going on in the state right now, 6,000 homes. Those people, the few that are up there now, are using 288th rather than 272nd. Any more upzoning or increased in density here in the what I consider old Black Diamond would just create more havoc on 169 and trying to get out and across that. So. In your considerations here today, I'm opposed to any zoning changes until we can come to some solutions on these traffic issues. Thank you.
Would anyone else, any other member of the public? Kristen, please state your name and city for the record.
Good evening, Planning Commissioners. I'm Kristen Bryant, and I grew up in Black Diamond. I live in Bellevue now. And I had prepared something else, but as I was driving here, I decided to switch what I was going to say, so bear with me. I drove out of Bellevue, through Bellevue. It was very crowded. I drove through Renton. It was very crowded. I got to Maple Valley. The construction, it just seems like it's normal now, but it is frustrating and, you know, a little dangerous. Got to Black Diamond, and it was nice and quiet, relatively. The city of Black Diamond has talked about, but has not acted on passing a general school impact fee for new development. They haven't passed a general traffic impact fee for new development. There's no government facilities impact fee for new development. And I'm sure that you guys have information on this one, but it is a little unusual in Black Diamond because with 10 trails set to be so much bigger than the existing amount of residences, the impact on government facilities is already expected to be huge. They projected needing a new city hall, you know, a massively expanded police station, and there's not any money being collected from new development for that. So it's very reasonable to look at the city and say what kind of policies and goals, when you're looking at those on your in your agenda tonight, do we really want the promise that, well, maybe we'll build more commercial development and we'll just make it up in taxes? You don't have any data that supports that, and that is really speculative. There was an article recently from KUOW that someone shared with me about the city of DuPont. DuPont did a lot of planning. They put in a lot of things that were promises of tax revenue, and the people there just voted out the mayor because they're really unhappy with what it's like to live there, and it hasn't turned out just, you know, nice, pretty, pleasant place the way they were promised, but it's very different. So when people brought up, you know, I couldn't help but think about the people that came to your meeting in October and talked about, let's see what actually happens with 10 trails before we do any more significant development or changes. I think that's really important to take, you know, to think about and research. And I, like I said, I didn't have any time to bring you something more concrete, but hope to be able to do so, as well as, you know, that you listen to what other people have brought forward on that topic. Thank you.
Thank you. Would any other person in the public like to approach the Planning Commission with any concerns, considerations? Thank you. Please state your name and city for the record.
My name is Carolyn Harp, and my city is Black Diamond. I, too, am concerned about potential for a rezone, and I think that the map in our current comprehensive plan perhaps is a bit, needs more consideration and really should not be there. And it should be changed so that we prevent unwanted growth that we really can't control. And it would be wise to put a moratorium on growth outside of the MPDs in any event before any more construction is permitted, so that we know what the effect is and we can really have controlled growth and growth that we can manage. And thirdly, we should really pass impact fees before we do any more permitting of construction, so that the growth will pay for the growth. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to present anything for consideration? Please, Mr. Bryant.
I'm Bill Bryant, 25100 Roberts Drive, Black Diamond. I've seen a lot of change in Black Diamond in just these last few years, say 10 years. Before that, it was pretty rural. But we are not rural anymore. And my daughter, Kristen, is I'm behind her 100%, and she's working for me to try to get you to understand that we don't need just continual jump ahead. We need to see what's going to happen with what we already have in process. And maybe when we get to 50 to 75% of what we have in process, maybe then we can look at further development. And another thing that I came to my mind that I thought about was development in areas along 169. If you look at business and you look at homeowners, you don't want homeowners and business together, because eventually they won't like it. But if you start mixing all that up, you've got a jumbled up mess city. You want to keep housing separate. That's one big thing. From business, keep that in mind. Thank you very much for listening to me, and I really don't have a lot more to say, but I'm just not against a lot of growth, because our highways can't stand it. Nobody wants to help us pay for the highways, as far as the state or the county or anybody. It's right now, it's pretty heavy, and it took me to leave Renton tonight from my business in Renton. Just to get out of town, it takes 20 minutes. And you're going to see that here if you continue with what you're doing. If you have the business, I don't think you're going to get the business. You're too far away from anything to get a lot of business right away. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. All right. If everyone's satisfied that they've had an opportunity, we'll move to the next agenda item, which is a study work session. Ms. Kincaid?
Yeah, and so I've got a PowerPoint and also the handout for the PowerPoint. Really, the review of comp plan goals and policies, again, we're not going through every single goal and policy in the comp plan. What seemed to occur at our last meeting is that there was a need to sort of have a real high level summary reminder of the comp plan, and also to make sure all the commissioners had access to the comp plan, because as we started to try to have a discussion about land use categories and the map, it just became clear that we were sort of missing let's turn back into like remembering that plan document, as big as it is something that we have to keep with us, and those goals and policies sort of as our Bible as we work through this year on the work that the Planning Commission does. So my first question is, you know, Karina sent out an email saying we gave you the link to the comp plan, and then Karina said if anybody wants a print copy, please let her know, because sometimes it's easier to have a print copy. So hopefully everyone has access to that comp plan. If you don't, let's make sure that you get it. And then I just sort of basically want to go through very quickly. This shouldn't be a long, drawn-out discussion, but just to remind us, the purpose of the comprehensive plan is that it is a 20-year, it's a big, can you see okay? Do you want me to pull?
No, I'm okay.
It's the big 20-year future of what the city desires to be. So setting that direction for future development, the comprehensive plan always has public input. It contains a vision statement. It contains guiding principles. It includes a land use map. We call it the future land use map, or the FLUM. And that's some of what we were, I think there was some confusion when we brought the zoning map in for the hearing, is that the FLUM is not the same thing as the zoning map. And that's really one of those things that's kind of, it's confusing for folks. It's like, well, you've got this map that says this, you've got this map that says something else. And just briefly, you have to think about that 20-year future, and that's what the FLUM is all about. So future land use, 20 years out. And it is supposed to be showing the general location of the types and intensities of land use based on the goals and policies that we've adopted. Zoning map is basically the regulation that implements that. In many cities, it's not the same. In Black Diamond, it always has been the same. We may decide to not have it be the same. We haven't had that discussion. Right now, we know that we have an adopted FLUM in our comp plan that is slightly different from the adopted zoning map, that we adopted that zoning map in 2015. And there are some differences. So our discussion was, well, gee, we've always had the zoning map and the comp plan map be the same thing, so we ought to bring through the ordinance to amend that. We heard in October a lot of people that all of a sudden realized that, oh, the zoning map. Oh, you know, so we need to have more discussion about that, and we will have more discussion about that. But just want to make sure that people understand that there are two different maps, and they have different purpose.
Commissioner Olson, could you tell us which one has preference? Or
the zoning map is the law. Yes, the comp plan map is the policy document. It's the visual of what the policies and goals. So policy document is guidance. I don't know how many of you have spent time thinking about the Revised Code of Washington, the RCW, and the Washington Administrative Code, the WAC. We kind of kick that around once in a while. The WAC is the guidance document from the state agencies. It is codified in the RCW. The comp plan and the FLUM are City of Black Diamond's policy document, codified in the Black Diamond Municipal Code, which includes zoning map. So in the case of the property owners that have land now where the future land use map shows that in the future, it is our desire for development to occur something different than that property is currently zoned, if that party comes in and it's already on the table with a development proposal, the way that that property is zoned right now, that is how we will review that application. Thank you for the question. Any other questions? So just to summarize, you know, it's the vision for the future, the goals and policies that guide the physical development. It also includes sort of social and economic character. It should also be used sort of to set up budgeting priorities for a city. There's strategies to achieve. It includes strategies to achieve this desired vision. It is implemented through our regulation, our actions, our budget decisions, standards, public service provisions, and it needs to be consistent with regional plans, which we've heard quite a bit about that, about the difference between the targets and what we have because of the MPD. So there's the front page of our comp plan, and it was adopted in May 2019 by City Council. As you know, you are an advisory body to City Council. The work that you do here is forwarded to the City Council with a recommendation. The legal action is taken by the City Council. So they adopted this this new comprehensive plan in May of 2019. There's the ordinance number. It can be amended annually. We have the opportunity to amend it annually, which is what we were talking about the whole tabling thing. We were trying to get through some annual amendments for the 2019 docket. We did not have enough time because our schedule was off when we started. We hoped that they would be such minor changes that we'd be able to get them through. But then, as you know, we got into the hearing and it became clear that there was more work. The public needed to know more information before we proceeded. So we tabled the amendments, the annual 2019 amendment dockets that we started talking about, and we'll be talking about those in our this year, 2020, annual amendment. So the state requires a periodic update. The state does not require us to amend our comp plan every year. That is our decision. The state requires that we do an update. They call it an update, not an amendment, and that has to happen every 8 years. That's the requirement. The May 2019 adopted plan is the output of the state-required update. And stop me if anyone has questions, because this is just, it just gets to be kind of, it's kind of confusing. So,
Ms. Kincaid, mm-hmm. A question, Commissioner McCain. So the may be amended annually. There is a time frame for that. So property owners can address the city mm-hmm. and asking for an adopted any kind of a change that they would like to see. And that window of time is between which month and which month?
January and February.
Okay.
Yes. And I've got a lot of the final screen here where we'll talk about that.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So there's the Black Diamond vision. We worked really hard. The vision statement, this is really the original 1996 vision statement that just sort of got massaged a little bit. Didn't change much. Usually, when you go through a visioning process, you hope that that vision is done well enough that it's not changing all the time, because you need to have something that's really, really going to give you the ability to guide that growth. It's a long term, so you can't be changing your mind. You know, oh, I like this, you know, this day, and I like that another day, because then of course you will never achieve the vision. So our vision statement is it's a very strong vision statement. Have you all had a chance to reread that? I don't want to read it out loud to everybody, but it's that's where we start. That's our big umbrella. That is what the lens through which we look at all the work we do. It is the lens through which we think about the criteria for making zoning changes, or the criteria for approving any kind of development is if it if it's really going to fit into this vision, we always have to keep that in mind. You know, and this is having an active, beautiful, friendly community. We have a rich historic heritage that we cherish. We cherish our natural setting. We want to have an economic base that's mixed. We want to have residential development that's going to be a mix of types and sizes and densities, that we're going to cluster it to take a better, make better use of the land so that we're leaving more open space. We want to connect housing with shopping and employment and regional parks and recreation. I mean, this is a beautiful picture that we painted that we would like to be able to achieve 20 years out. The citizens are participating, effective open government and the decision making. The decisions that are made reflect these community values. We cooperate with our nearby jurisdictions. And we have adequate public services, environmental protection, all of this kind of quality of life for everybody. And that is our adopted vision statement. I think it's a very good vision statement. We worked hard on it.
Excuse me, Ms. Kincaid. So we crafted this Black Diamond vision statement with the help of the council. Wasn't that correct?
That's correct.
In a work session?
This is very close to the 1996 vision statement. From the 1996 comprehensive plan, we worked on, I don't know if you remember the discussion about, well, were we vibrant, were we this or that? We kind of tweaked some of the adjectives, forwarded this onto the council, and that's exactly right. They had, you all made your recommendation and did fabulous work. You recommended to the council for them to adopt your work, and in some cases they massaged your work a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Great. Thank you.
So that vision statement has goals underpinning it. So the vision goals, and like I said, we don't really want to spend the time going through them. If everyone has access to the plan, it's online. Anybody that's here tonight that doesn't know where to find that plan, I would just urge them to contact me so that I can direct you to that online. But, you know, you've got vision goals. For community character, vision goals, supporting the parks and recreation and open space. Basically, these are our guiding principles. Natural environment vision goals. Another natural environment vision goal. Land use vision goal. Housing, transportation, a couple of transportations. A heavy on the transportation because obviously that is our big Achilles heel. Capital facility vision goals, utilities, and economic development. So all of those are propping up that vision. So what you're doing in a comprehensive plan is starting with this big overarching vision. You're narrowing it down with some guiding principles, and then you dive into the actual topics, plan chapters. So our plan contains the ones that have, there's a whole lot of data in there. The plan chapters that contain goals and policies are Chapter 3, Parks, Recreation, Trails, and Open Space. Chapter 4, Natural Environment. Chapter 5, Land Use. Chapter 6, Housing. Chapter 7, Transportation. Chapter 8, Capital Facilities and Utilities. And Chapter 9, Economic Development. So then just to show you the structure within each of those chapters, those topical chapters, we have more data, you know, more information just to sort of set the stage for what we're talking about. And then we have goals and policies. Those goals and policies should be and always need to be consistent with each chapter and consistent with the vision. So it's, you know, it's important if we find ourselves talking about changing something and we realize that if we make this change, we're digressing from a goal or a policy that we have. So therefore we have to really, Is that the direction we want to go? And if it is, because something is is different today than it was when we made this goal, or then we need to make sure that we're always going back to the comp plan and going through all of the goals and policies and keeping that internally consistent. So there are a lot in I only listed just to show you sort of the format. There are a lot of goals and policies. We have a lot of high aspirations. And these are things that, you know, in the land use chapter about establishing a pattern of development, starts very high level, maintaining and enhancing the safety and health quality, you know, sorts of things. This goal about providing physical accessibility, this is something that is new because the state required it, and it's a great goal to have. And then we talk about in the policies under those two goals, if you have this goal, then the policy is like, okay, so here's the goal. Therefore, when we make decisions, and the council, we being the council, the city, you know, elected officials makes decisions, are there decisions fitting in with these policies? And so that's also what you need to keep in mind as you're making recommendation to city council to consider the actions that they take. Any questions? Okay. So, again, a lot of just really great, you know, we talk about preserving historic resources, the character of the city. We tie that into policies for, you know, promoting Old Town, policy LU15, our historic, you know, that's our historical component with our design standards. We've talked about that in other meetings. Retaining our historical community character, protecting the views of Rainier, partnering. And then this goal 5 is really about the MPDs, alternative and innovative forms of development. And you see a couple policies under the MPD land use. So that's the structure. I just wanted to say that's the structure. And so when people are wondering about whether or not we have laid the foundation for what we need to talk about when we talk about changing regulations, changing the zoning map, the foundation is here. And this is what we need to go back to. And then, of course, you have a land use map that I talked about in the very beginning, the FLUM. And so all of those goals and policies are supposed to really be visually represented in the land use map, which when we made changes to the land use map, when we adopted the comp plan update, I feel pretty strongly that we did that. And so really what we have to do is go back to, if people are disagreeing with us, then we need to go back and figure out, well, which goal or which implementing goal or policy is not correct. And you hear people talking about, well, we really should segregate all the zones. We shouldn't do mixed use zoning. But our whole comp plan talks about mixed use, diversity, and having that close proximity for people to live and work and recreate and shop. And so those are all very viable discussions. And so if people want to make proposals to change some of these, the public has input on that, planning commissioners have input on that, of course, city council staff all has input on that. And that's when we get into the amending the comprehensive plan, the annual amendment, which is the first quarter of every year, January, February, March. March 31st is the deadline for people to submit, the public to submit, or other agencies changes. They may say, like, you know, I just don't think this policy here is quite right. We heard a lot of that. And, in fact, in that big spreadsheet I gave you for all of the public input we had in October, there were a lot of fields there where I said, yeah, this is something that that probably the party that made this comment may want to consider approaching the city with a proposed text amendment. So the second quarter, we were trying to play catch-up. the second quarter is when we were supposed to be reviewing. I review all of the proposed amendments. I bring a proposed docket of changes for the annual amendment to you in the second quarter. You know, we updated our comp plan in May, so in June, July, August, we were trying to slip that in. It just obviously didn't work. So we're on track with the second quarter, starting to put together that 2020 annual amendment docket, sending that proposed preliminary docket to council. They look at it. They may agree with all the changes we're proposing. They may not. They send back to the Planning Commission what they think that you guys need to work on to change the comprehensive plan. That happens in the third quarter. Then your recommendation is wrapped up and sent on the actual amendments themselves to City Council, and then they need to adopt the annual amendments before the end of the year. So that's how that works. And was this helpful to you, to kind of like the high level? Hopefully it was.
Yeah, I believe so. And I think for the public's benefit, you know, every piece of this comp plan has been discussed. I think we've had 43 meetings up until this point in time over the last 3 years since 2015, trying to get to this point. And we do appreciate everyone's input. It is valuable. Mm-hmm. There have been some things that have come before us that are limiting as to what can be changed at this point in time. But I think it's good for us and for the public, too, to know what the protocol is and the criteria and how we're going to move this forward in the future.
Yeah, and the criteria for when people do submit a proposal for amending the comp plan, that criteria is in the code. So we take the applications in. We review them with the criteria and the code, and basically staff is going to bring to you a whole list of anybody that asked us to make changes. I'm going to tell you, like, I think that this doesn't fit the criteria, and I don't recommend it go on the docket, or I do. So it's kind of this whole process of review, but it's all based on the comp plan goals and policies, of course, and the criteria in the Black Diamond Municipal Code.
Thank you, Ms. Kincaid. Commissioners, good. Any questions? Let's move then, if you're ready, Ms. Kincaid, to the 2020 work plan.
Yes. So in 2019, December 11, 2018, I handed out a 2019 work plan. It was a very aggressive work plan. Needless to say, we didn't accomplish much of it. So we have a lot of stuff that we still have to do. We did manage to get the accessory structures and uses and accessory dwelling unit chapters 1850 and 1856 done. That was really important because, as you know, the legislature has been working hard and had bills coming out about how to provide affordable housing through accessory dwelling units. And we were right there. You know, the changes that you recommended and council adopted were right in line with what the legislature eventually came out with. We had to do our shoreline program update. That was required. We did do that. Those are the two things we did. We started to try to do the, because we finished up with the comp plan in that year too, and then we tried to do that annual amendment docket, and that's where we stopped the year. So one of the biggest priorities we have this year is our sensitive areas ordinance update. We are still not compliant with the GMA until we do our required. We got the comp plan update done, but the sensitive area or critical area ordinance is part of GMA compliance, and we are past due for updating that. So that's top of the list for priorities. And we'll be starting that work soon. In fact, we'll be starting to talk about it in February, that soon. The docket for the 2020 comp plan process will start in the beginning of the second quarter, April. And we want to make sure that that's on track. We also need to update our sign code. That was on our work program, and that's, I would say, a right in there with the priorities of work that we need to accomplish. I've put together the way that we will be working on the sign code update is putting together a small focus group comprised of just sort of different business people and citizens, and those folks, the probably 5 to 7 folks, will have a couple of meetings with the attorney and with myself, and looking at the code that we have, which is not compliant with federal laws that have been passed throughout the years, and we'll let them kind of help us formulate a staff recommendation to bring through the Planning Commission. And so then it follows the same process. So we're kind of throwing in a little extra community step there. We will still do the normal public hearing process and all of that, but we just wanted to have at the front end a little extra help in this focus group. You know, just people that need signs that are going to be impacted by sign code change, that sort of thing. And then if we have time, because then we'll also need to be working on comp plan amendments the third quarter of the year. And boy, those months go fast, don't they? But we really need to start working on our design guidelines. And also our park plan update. So those are things that that are on your list of stuff to do this year. We'll see how we do.
Good.
I would like to ask, though, if the commissioners have anything that you're curious about, well, or you perhaps have some other things that you think are very important that I haven't brought up tonight.
Questions? I think we're good.
Commissioner Olson, you know, I don't have any particular topic, but I guess my comment, you know, we get a lot of public comments, mm-hmm. and I think we as a dais need to do a better job at responding. I know we obviously can't respond on the spot. Public comments are public comments, they're comments. It's not a dialogue. But I think we should be able to, come back to these topics. Mm-hmm. Next month, right? So one gentleman mentioned the roads. I think we should have a response to that, mm-hmm. or some type of acknowledgement. Even if we can't do anything, just mm-hmm. to show that we heard you, and if we can do anything, we're doing that. That would be my only comment.
And I agree with you. I was just thinking that maybe I could use my department report to sort of address what we hear from the public comment at each meeting. But then we have another public comment after that. So the way that our agenda is ordered makes it difficult. But I think that you're right. I mean,
I think same day would be a little much, right? And it wouldn't give time to put a lot of thought into it. And I think it would just be an off-the-cuff response. So maybe the next,
week. But some of the comments that they're very easy to respond to. In some not so much. That's true.
All right. Sure. Commissioner LeConte.
Commissioner LeConte, on this list here, is there a 2020 work plan right now or not printed?
Well, I'll give you the written work plan next month, and it'll contain the items that we just talked about.
Okay.
Yeah. But I just wanted to tell you that these are the things that are high on the list, and make sure that I got your input or reaction to that.
Any other? I like Commissioner Olson's question, and I think it'll be helpful for everyone. I do have a moment in time when I want to respond to something that Mr. Costa says, because indeed it's an issue for me too, but I don't have the right answers to resolve the issue. Just more frustration too, probably. So we all live here. We all experience life here in Black Diamond, and I think that's important to remember too. We want the best, and we're going to work toward that as best we can. So
sure, and it's only in the public, really, the public hearing venue that it's important not to engage in dialogue. But our meetings are, if it is perfectly permissible for us staff or planning commissioners to ask questions when people give you public comment during that time for clarification, or even if you may know, you know, some, you could provide some information that may be helpful in answering their question. That's fine. It's just that public hearing venue that we don't engage in the back and forth dialogue.
Got it.
If that helps.
Well, a point of clarification then, Ms. Kincaid, is there's not an MPD that's being constructed on 288th and on the west side of the highway there.
No.
That's just a plat that's happening. And whether or not the developer has paid any impact fees, and I think that there are impact fees that are charged through the development process. So I'd like to know, certainly, when those are committed, how those are applied. And when Kristen Bryant, let's say, or Mr. Bryant talks about general impact fees, mm-hmm. you know, where the difference is. And I know the school district spent a lot of time on the impact issue, and then that's a document all together separate from what we have any jurisdiction over.
Well, you know, I'll just go ahead, and I was saving that to my community department report to respond, but I'll just respond right now because you've asked the question. So the city has adopted fire impact fees for everybody. The development agreement set in place collection of impact fees, school impact fees, just for the MPDs. The city council has had work sessions and is working with the school districts on implementing a school impact fee for everywhere else. That's in the works, as well as transportation impact fee. Like, we're having several meetings staff level because the transportation impact fee really needs to be adopted. That's a formula. It takes some work, but that's being worked on right now. In the meantime, how we handle, so that doesn't give developers a free pass because we don't have an impact fee for transportation. The way that we handle the collection of developers' fees to mitigate for their transportation impacts from their projects is through SEPA, if they trigger SEPA, or if they're doing a subdivision and it isn't triggering the State Environmental Protection Agency review, then we have a voluntary agreement. So what we do have is a concurrency ordinance for transportation. That concurrency ordinance requires that every person that proposes a development, either it's a short plat or it's a commercial development, needs to provide a transportation impact report to the city that goes through review and a determine and the kind of the modeling to determine the trips being generated from that proposal, the distribution of those trips, and if you remember the comprehensive plan, Chapter 7, we have adopted levels of service for these intersections. So that's where we start. If the review of the impacts for a proposed project cause that adopted level of service, either it's an ABC or something, to fall below, then they are really required, then we legally can say, your development broke this, you have to fix it. If it's a matter of there's concurrency, but you still need to make some improvements, that those dollars are collected. So it's not as though we aren't collecting any money. The actual intersection that Mr. Acosta is referring to, that's something that I don't really know off the top of my head the level of service that's there. Mm-hmm. That is a complicated issue simply because there's all the other jurisdictions that are King County developing mm-hmm. housing. The city has a proposal for 32 single family homes at the corner across from Lake Sawyer. So
with the levels of service, doesn't Commissioner Olson, just address the really the traffic, mm-hmm. not the safety concerns?
Right. There's sort of a, yes, that's the concurrency addresses capacity in the traffic input. Mm-hmm. The improvements that we can require through our review of development applications allow us to collect money for improvements that would be related to safety.
Mm-hmm. Because with that intersection there, right, is traffic flow a problem? I don't think so. I mean, we don't get stopped up there a lot. But it's an issue with drivers. It's really a driver issue, right, or a road issue with notifications. I don't know what the issue is, but there is an issue, and it's getting worse.
Right.
And I'm a good driver, okay? Sorry, So I'm typically normally not one to complain about intersections or roads or issues, but that place causes people to make stupid decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's going to affect us further down the road drastically. I don't know if somebody's died there yet, but they're about to. I can promise you that, you know. I was talking with my son the other day about, we got into a car accident about a month or so ago, and we were talking, just talking about it, and no one got hurt. And he brought up how one of his kids in his school was in an accident. I believe it was that one recently, the really bad one, right? Mm-hmm. And how he had to go to the hospital and all this stuff, right? And so it's affecting the kids too, just in conversation with silly things like that. So I do want to make that a point to talk about. I don't know what we can do with that. I know, we're limited on a lot of stuff, and we're limited there because it's not our area. But
right.
I'd like to push that forward.
That's the one thing that, at the next meeting in the department report, I can make a point of doing a little research and then just talking about what I learned.
Yeah.
Just so we at least kind of understand the situation, the issue, or the problem a little better, potential solutions if there are any. So, but then I'm sorry.
Oh no, I should say great. Well, thank you for clarifying that, and thank you for clarifying the fact that we need to move to our next agenda item, which is the Community Development Department report. And
yes,
from this point forward.
Yes, exactly. And I do want to say something about, we've heard people that are really wishing that we could stop all development in the city until the MPDs. That isn't, placing development moratoriums is only permissible by law for very specific reasons and very short windows. So it's a six-month moratorium. You can extend that a couple of times. So familiar with building moratorium from other jurisdictions that I've worked in for other reasons. And it is something that the law doesn't allow us just to tell property owners, I'm sorry, you don't get to develop your property because we want to wait and see what happens from the impacts of this one. So I think that we need to try to talk more about what we can do. And that's what, moratorium is not something we really realistically can do. The types of development, the locations of development, the densities of development, that's where we can focus our attention. But I just kind of want to throw that out there so that we are all trying to work towards the same goal, which is not to create an awful place here. I think we all share the same goal, basically.
Exactly.
So, and then the department report part of this is that we did get our decision from the Growth Management Hearings Board. If you remember, there was a petition for review filed on the May 2019 comp plan that it was not compliant with the Growth Management Act, should be invalidated, and that was all dismissed last night. So that was good news, of course. We learned a lot in that process, so I'm thankful for that. We can do things better and how I can improve the process. The Puget Sound Regional Council and I have been talking. They will be certifying with conditions the May 2019 comp plan. Those conditions are pretty minimal, and those will be folded into our 2020 docketing process. So we are making progress. That's it.
Thank you, Ms. Kincaid. Commissioners, any other questions? Good. I think we've had some good dialogue tonight. So with that being said, this is our second opportunity to receive public comment. Would someone like to present comments to the Planning Commission? Please step to the podium and cite your name and city for the record, please.
Good evening. My name is Bob Stewart. I live in Black Diamond, just up the hill. I want to actually thank Ms. Kincaid for the overview. The slide deck actually was pretty good.
Did that help you?
If that's publicly available, I'd love to, like, share it to my, like, homeowners association, just try to encourage them to understand
and
be involved.
And I'll put the link to the comp plan on it, too. So
that'd be good.
Uh-huh.
So,
you
okay,
bet.
That'd be great.
Do I have your email address?
I'll make sure you have it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you do. But back to the statement you made, the moratorium. I've come up and I've sent a few letters. I've said a few things, and I don't honestly know of anyone who really is totally against new development, people using their property as they really want to use it. And so this Kincaid statement of we can't just stop it all, but let's do what we can do. And really, we've been up here multiple times, several months in a row, just trying to encourage you as our, you know, you're our representatives and you're the ones who can try to influence this. And that's really all I really look for is when I see the vision and I see the statements in there about, you know, keeping it small, maintaining the really cool historic, you know, nature of this place and trying to keep that for future generations. You know, just be honest with yourselves, be honest with the community. When things come up and you're looking at all the changes that are made and the rules and policies and all of that stuff, if something just doesn't smell right and it doesn't really fit the goals, then, you know, I'm just asking you, stand up. I mean, you have to. I can't, right? So you're in those meetings. So you can do the standing up for us. And that's really what I just would encourage you to do and support you to do and really do appreciate that you do it for us on our behalf. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to bring any public comment to our attention? Ms. Bryant?
Hi again. I'm Kristen Bryant. I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. A couple of things that came up that I wanted to clarify. The intersection at 288th and Highway 169 has a level of service of E minimum. That's because it's in the unincorporated area of King County. And it is currently operating at level of service E because our group that was working on reviewing the 10 Trails current plat 1A last year researched and found that that's the latest measured amount. So it's right on that borderline of failing. And it looks like you guys would know this. Phil would know because he goes around that way. And if you live over near Lake Sawyer, you might know a lot of people are rerouting. If they would, if there was no traffic, go to 169. They're just avoiding that intersection and they're going the other way to 216th and up to, you know, the Kent Kangley Road that way, which is why we're not seeing the level of service E drop that much more. But in the development agreement for 10 Trails, there were traffic mitigations set through SEPA, and they had to do plans at the beginning of every phase, and at the beginning of their phase two plan, they did a traffic analysis, and it was done in like 2013 or 2014. And they determined that at 1,728 units of housing in 10 Trails, and that 17-something, not sure the exact number, that intersection at 288th and 169 must be improved. The developer will have to contribute, but they don't necessarily have to pay for the whole thing, and it doesn't mean that you have to wait until 1,700. But that's what Black Diamond has so far. I wanted to mention, I forgot earlier that, you know, I've been really into these traffic documents and some of the other documents about 10 Trails. I brought you some traffic information at your December meeting about how they had done some of these traffic studies and where numbers that you can expect from certain kinds of development, how many cars come from. I'm more than happy to provide, you know, more complete documents than the pages I just took snippets from if anybody wants them. I mentioned the general government facilities impact fee in my opening comments. I was talking about the need to review and make sure that impact fees in general are set, but I didn't imply that there was just, you know, completely random fees. There is a fee called the General Government Facilities Impact Fee that Black Diamond considered at one time because the massive amount of growth would place so much need for City Hall, Public Works, Police. And that, again, is something that is discussed in the Black Diamond Development Agreement. The City of Issaquah also has a General Government Facilities Impact Fee. So looking at other cities and what they're doing, you know, is something that you might also find useful when you're trying to deal with the kinds of comments and feedback that you're getting from people. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to provide any public comment? Mr. Costa. Excuse me.
Yeah, Philip Acosta, Black Diamond. Thank you, Mr. Olson, for addressing those issues there. You know, if you lived in Ten Trails right now and you wanted to get out to 169 to head to Renton, would you take Roberts Drive, 25 miles an hour, trying to get through that stop sign? No, you take 216th, either 272nd or 288th, and that's really what's going on right now. The traffic out there is probably fivefold what it was 5 years ago. It's not only development here in Black Diamond, but Covington, East Kent, anybody that's trying to get out to 169 and avoid 272nd. So I appreciate your input. I have talked to Maple Valley about this, and they're concerned too. I thought maybe between all the agencies involved here that they, you know, you could get together, maybe talk to Reagan Dunn and see if something can be done. Caution lights, something like they have in Enumclaw to let people know that they're approaching an active intersection. And I think you hit the nail on the head that, yes, if there hasn't been a fatality, there will be. And maybe we can prevent that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Well, thank you, commissioners, for your participation in this meeting. I just want everyone in the public to know that these are volunteer positions, and we are really grateful for the men and the women that take their time to do that, to be the voice of the community, and that's really that is our intent. So with that being said, I would like to entertain a motion to...
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Adjourn.
Second?
Moved and seconded to adjourn this meeting. All those approved? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carried. Thank you very much. Thank you, public.